January, the first month of the year in our Gregorian calendar, ushers in the new year and promises new beginnings. The cold and bleak landscape of this winter month provides a rich background for our esteemed poets, such as Lord Byron, Henry Alford, and Georgina Christina Rossetti. They and many others offer us their reflections and counterpoints, which are read for you by, amongst others, Richard Midgley and Gisela Rowe.
January the 1st, 1828, by Nathaniel Parker Willis. Fleetly hath passed the year. The seasons came duly as they are wont, the gentle spring and the delicious summer and the cool, rich autumn with the nodding of the grain, and winter like an old and hoary man, frosty and stiff, and are so chronicled. We have read gladness in the new green leaf and in the first blown violets. We have drunk cool water from the rock, and in the shade sunk to the noontide slumber. We have plucked the mellow fruitage of the bending tree, and girded to our pleasant wanderings when the cool wind came freshly from the hills. And when the tinting of the autumn leaves had faded from its glory, we have sat by the good fires of winter, and rejoiced over the fullness of the gathered sheaf. God hath been very good. 'Tis he whose hand moulded the sunny hills, and hollowed out the shelter of the valleys, and doth keep the fountains in their secret places cool. And it is he who leadeth up the sun, and ordereth the starry influences, and tempereth the keenness of the frost. And therefore, in the plenty of the feast, and in the lifting of the cup, let him have praises for the well-completed year.
Written January the 1st, 1792. By Janet Little. Today old wrinkled time appears, a smile adorns his brow, while to our list of fleeting years he adds the 92, our favourite hopes that swiftly glide, announce his steps too slow, lest disappointment's hazy stride should every bliss overthrow. He softly creeps along the way, while we his progress watch. He turns his back, vain our essay, his bald pate then to catch. On his right hand, a lovely dame, in robes of crimson hue, her eyes our admiration claim, her form attracts our view. Distant her air, staid, sapient, mild, a figure fine and tall, by wisdom owned her legal child, who did her prudence call. With vermil lips, in accents sweet, soft as that falling snow, their words I heard the nymph repeat, addressed to all below. In virtue's cause exert your powers, let her your actions sway, employ with speed the passing hours, nor trust another day. On his left hand, with tardy pace, here walks a maid forlorn, lank hunger painted on her face, her scanty raiment torn. Rich luxury her father deemed, idle her dam confessed, in public by no man esteemed, in secret much caressed. With smirking smile and speeches fair, she does us kindly greet. But sage experience cries, beware, she'll prove an arrant cheat. This now the lazy warrior finds, his sword with rust adorned, half planned as yet his dire designs, his conquests unperformed. She'll spoil the politician's scheme, the patriot's generous toil, for sloth is the impostor's name, oh, deign her not a smile. She whispered in young Strephon's ear, when Delia seemed to frown, that soon she'd change that look severe, and all his wishes crown. Lulled in her soft alluring chain, his success did prevent, till Delia found an active swain, and left him to lament. Poor Chloe's comrade, ere and late, while powers she had to charm, those gone, she feels the sad deceit, and gives the loud alarm. In vain each specious art she tries, vain the cosmetic aid. She must be what all ranks despise, an old forsaken maid. Sloth of society the pest, of every bliss the bane, may we the latent ills detest, which form thy direful train. Our helm let prudence ever steer. She'll shield us from the blast, and every new revolving year remind us of our last. Direct our course to yonder shore, where virtue ever reigns, where time and seasons are no more, where death is bound in chains. Unvaried there the blissful scene, mid seraphims above, all pure, all placid and serene, all harmony and love.
Written January the 1st, 1832, by Henry Alford. The year is born today, methinks it hath a chilly time of it, for down the sky the flaky frost cloud stretches, and the sun lifted his large light from the eastern plains with gloomy mist enfolded countenance and garments rolled in blood. Under the haze, along the face of the waters, gather fast sharp spikes of the fresh ice, as if the year that died last night had dropped down suddenly in his full strength of genial government, prisoning the sharp breath of the northern winds, who now burst forth and revel unrestrained over the new king's months of infancy. The bells rung merrily when the old year died. He passed away in music. His death sleep closed on him like the slumber of a child when a sweet hymn in a sweet voice above him takes up into its sound his gentle being. And we will raise to him two monuments, one where he died and one where he lies buried, one in the pealing of those midnight bells, their swell and fall and varied interchange, the tones that come again upon the spirit in years far off, mid unshaped accidents, and one in the deep quiet of the soul, the mingled memories of a thousand moods of joy and sorrow, and his epitaph shall be upon him. Here lie the remains of one who was less valued while he lived than thought on when he died.
At the Entering of the New Year by Thomas Hardy. Our songs went up and out the chimney and roused the home-gone husbandman. Our allemands, our haze pousetings, our hands across and back again, sent rhythmic throbbings through the casements on to the white highway, where knighted farers paused and muttered, "Keep it up, well, do they?" The contrabassos measured booming, sped at each bar to the parish bounds, to shepherds at their midnight lambings, to stealthy poachers on their rounds, and everybody caught full duly the notes of our delight, as time unrobed the youth of promise, hailed by our sanguine sight. We stand in the dusk of a pine tree limb, as if to give ear to the muffled peal, brought or withheld at the breeze's whim, but our truest heed is to words that steal from the mantled ghost that looms in the grey, and seems so far as our sense can see to featured bereaved humanity, as it sighs to the imminent year it says. Oh, stay without, calm, comely youth, untasked, untired, those stars irradiate thee about, thy entrance here is undesired. Open the gate not, mystic one, must we avow what we could close confine? With thee, good friend, we would have converse now, albeit the fault may not be thine.
The Old Year by John Clare. The old year's gone away to nothingness and night. We cannot find him all the day, nor hear him in the night. He left no footstep, mark or place, in either shade or sun. The last year he'd a neighbour's face, in this he's known by none. All nothing everywhere, mists we on morning see, have more of substance when they're here, and more of form than he. He was a friend by every fire, in every cotton hall, a guest to every heart's desire, and now he's naught at all. Old papers thrown away, old garments cast aside, the talk of yesterday of things identified, but time once torn away, no voices can recall. The eve of New Year's Day left the old year lost to all.